Today on More to Life, how can I help? Are you struggling with how to help a loved one overcome a problem in their life? Not sure where to start? We'll help you help them. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, how can I help? We're talking about the challenge of helping others in ways that are actually helpful. You know, maybe you've tried to help somebody only to be told that you're being controlling. Or perhaps you wonder when to step in or when it's better to let someone figure things out for themselves, whether that's one of your kids who's struggling with something, an adult child or a friend or other loved one. What do you do when someone you care about keeps rejecting your efforts to help, or your attempts to help are making things worse? Let's talk about the complications that accompany trying to help other people. Shouldn't be that hard, should it? Well, we're here to help you help them. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
I think this is such a complicated topic, that people are actually avoiding helping at all sometimes these days. You know, we see all the time where something will happen to somebody and people will say, why didn't anybody step in? Because I think people are really afraid to not know how to do this well, to do it successfully. We're afraid of alienating people. We're afraid of intruding. And we know, as Christian people, we're supposed to be serving. We're supposed to be helping people. Sometimes we find it a lot easier to do a lot of volunteering, and yet we're not able to really help the people closest to us because it's scary. We're not sure how to handle it. So whether you don't know how to help someone that is in your life and is either asking for help or not asking, but it's really obvious that they need some help, or you'd like to be more involved in helping people, but you're afraid. We're here to help you figure out all the ins and outs of being a Christian that knows how to reach out and offer help and love in all the situations that you have to deal with in life. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Hey, we'll talk about this throughout the show, but you know, I found an interesting article by sociologist Martha Beck, who talked about how sometimes our motivation for helping is misguided. And she talked about three kind of false motivations for help. She talked about hormonal helpers, avoidance assisters, and messiah madness.
Those are really interesting titles. You've got to break that on.
Yeah,
down.
So hormonal helpers are folks who, you know, they really mean well. But when we help other people, we do get a hit of things like oxytocin and dopamine, which make us feel connected to other people and make us feel good about ourselves. And so sometimes we can get addicted to that high that comes from helping. Now, that might sound good, but the problem is I enjoy helping so much that I swoop in to help even when maybe other people don't want me to help or when I don't really know what would be helpful. I'm kind of unintentionally helping to make myself feel better rather than make a positive impact on the situation.
That's really interesting, and I think a lot of Christians can certainly fall into that, because not only do we feel more energized and more right about ourselves when we're helping, but as Christian people, we also have that moment of, and I think I'm making God really happy too.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the avoidance assisters. Those are the folks who kind of, you know, unconsciously throw themselves into helping all the people around them as a way of sort of avoiding their own problems and the things that they need to do to take care of themselves. And then the Messiah madness, that's helping where I like to feel like the expert. And so I just have to do everything. I'm the only one who can kind of do all the things. Oh, they keep messing things up, so I have to swoop in and fix it.
And unfortunately, sometimes that's based in some serious reality.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
That person has really good skills and is very intuitive about what people need and really think, and it's often true, that if they don't step in and help, something is not going to go very well and can even be hard on other people. And so they rightly step in, but sometimes it can snowball into something not so healthy.
Well, whether you are seeing yourself in those categories of unhelpful helping, or you are genuinely, you know, feeling like, look, I really am trying my best here to be helpful to this person I care about, and it just isn't working out, we are here to help you help them. 877-573-7825. Today's show, How Can I Help? As we talk about the challenge of being able to help the people that we care about in ways that are actually helpful. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, how can theology possibly help me deal with these kind of practical concerns about helping people? Well, you've come to the right place. Because when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Namely, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to those questions became the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we were made to be a gift to one another. And that means it's good and holy to want to be generous, to love others, and to work for their ultimate good.
Absolutely. But St. John Paul also cautioned that it's not enough to intend to do something loving. He said we have to love responsibly. And that means thinking carefully about whether the way we're trying to help somebody actually has a real chance of bringing out the best in them.
You know, sometimes what we call help doesn't end up being very helpful. For instance, maybe we're giving advice to someone who really just needs us to listen. Or we keep stepping in to fix things for someone who needs to learn to do something for themselves. Our hearts might be in the right place, but our actions can end up making the situation worse.
Well, exactly. And that's why the theology of the body teaches us to always respect the dignity and freedom of the person in front of us. If our efforts undermine their growth, then even with the best intentions, we're not really serving them in love.
So what's the alternative? Well, before we dive in to help, we need to pause, pray, and ask God how he wants us to love in this particular moment. That's very different from just doing what we've always done or doing something so we can feel better ourselves.
So a simple prayer can really reorient everything. Something like, Lord, teach me how to respond to this person in a way that really brings out the best in them.
Because ultimately, authentic love isn't about checking a box. It's about cooperating with God's grace so that we can do those things that genuinely help the other person become even a little bit more of who God created them to be.
So there you have it. You know, it sounds good in theory, but how do we actually apply this stuff in the specific situations that you might be dealing with? 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about being helpful to the people in your life. You know, do you ever try to help someone only to be told that you're being controlling? Maybe you wonder when to step in and when it's better to let someone figure things out for themselves. You know, what do you do when someone you care about rejects your attempts to help or your efforts to help are making things worse? Maybe you're just not sure how to help someone in the first place and you'd like some suggestions for how to get started. Let's talk it out and find helpful ways to make sure your help is helpful. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people and situations where we really do feel called to help, to offer our assistance, to use the gifts you've given us to be a blessing to others. And as your servant St. John Paul reminds us, that's our privilege and duty, to use the gifts that you've given us to bless the people in our lives. And yet sometimes the gift of help that we offer to others is returned or rejected, and it's hard to know what to do. Lord, give us the wisdom to know how to respond in this particular situation to this particular person in ways that have the best chance of bringing out the best in them. Help us to avoid the temptation to just react and help so that we feel like we've done something, even if the help isn't helpful, but instead to really reflect on what you would have us do to bring out the best in that person and work for their ultimate good. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, How Can I Help? Are you struggling with how to help a loved one overcome a particular problem in their life or relationships? Maybe you've been trying to help, but it's either been rejected, you're being told to back off, or it's making the situation worse. Let us help you help them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mike, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, guys. I'm a loyal listener, Pop Check. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening. What can we do for you?
So I have a question. This past fall, my best friend and I broke up our friendship. We've been friends for over 25 years. He had turned me into Child Protection Services because I had a bed bug issue in my house that he thought that I was not taking care of, which I was. My wife defended him, saying that he was only trying to help, you know, and I could have lost my job. She could have lost her job over it. So I have not talked to him since, and he won't admit what he did was wrong by getting involved. My question is, you know, I'm trying, should I still be mad at him? Should I still stay away from him? You know, because I felt like he wasn't helping the situation.
And I guess I'm curious. So why do you think your wife is sympathetic to him, to what he did?
I think it just because our past history, you know, we've been friends for so long, and I don't think she wants to see our friendship to break up like that. Which to me, it was just I don't know how to say that, but like it's unloyal, you know, not knowing the situation. I was taking care of it, and like I said, it wasn't helping me because, you know, they called my employer, they called her employer.
CPS did.
Like I said, and, you know, so I'm just like, he started something.
And how did that all play out then? I mean, so that must have been horrible for you to be on that receiving end of all of that.
They came out and interviewed my kids. And which my kids were, you know, I was more upset because my kids were involved. And sure, they interviewed my kids, and they checked the house, and I showed records that the bed bug issue was treated, which it, you know, we don't have anymore. So the case was closed pretty quick. But yeah, like I said, he was my best man in my wedding, and I was his best man in his wedding.
So why? I guess I'm just curious. Do you have any idea, like, what made him think that was the best way to go with this? Or did he ever explain himself?
No. I think he was just maybe. I don't know if this is. I don't know if he. How I say this, like, he can't have children, and I have children, and I always felt like there's been a little bit of jealousy over that. That I can have kids and he couldn't, and we've had it. That was bitterness between him and I sometimes, because I would talk to him about adopting children, and then he'd get upset over that, and okay. felt like I wasn't understanding. I don't know if that was his way of getting back at me, but I could said, I'm yeah. just now finally able to talk about it, and because I wouldn't talk to anybody about it, because like I said, I'm sure. very heartbroken. I've lost my friendship over him.
Yeah, so I want to make the distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation, and kind of just give you some principles to pray about moving forward. You know, forgiving somebody, you know, means surrendering our natural desire to hurt them for having hurt us. That's how St. Augustine defined forgiveness. And, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, it's not as straightforward as, well, you know, if I forgive them, then I have to have them in my life. You know, it's possible to forgive somebody and not be reconciled to them. So that's number one. So I think, yes, you do have to forgive him in the sense that, you know, you try your best to see why he did what he did, and you wish the best for him, and even pray for him, and pray for the situation. But whether you can reconcile with him or not really depends on whether you can trust him in moving forward. And so that's the question you have to ask. You know, if you were to talk to him, you know, and I think the question would be, you know, look, I appreciate that your intention was to work for the good of my family, but, you know, I was already handling things, and, you know, you rather than actually fixing anything, you caused problems that didn't need to be caused, and when CPS came to look at my house, they saw that I rectified the issue. There was no further issue to investigate. They closed the case, and all you did was make my life more difficult. And can you, you know, and then see how he would respond to that, right? If he's able to say, you know, look, I really was just trying to be there for your kids, and I felt like maybe you weren't moving on this enough, and I'm really sorry.
I overstepped, and I had no idea that they were going to go that far. Something to justify hurting you so bad.
Well, and not even so much, yes, justify, but even more, be willing to talk with you about moving forward if he had a concern or a question. How
exactly.
could you guys address that in a way that was respectful and maybe proportionate? And if he could do that, then you could reconcile with him, because he would have learned from his mistake, and he could see that what he did was over the top, and that moving forward, you guys worked out a way that if he has concerns, you could address them. If, on the other hand, though, you find that he's not willing to have that conversation, he's not willing to admit that he overreacted, and that he's not willing to agree that moving forward, you know, he would approach you in a more proportionate way about concerns or problems that he had, then you couldn't trust him to be around him. So even though you'd forgiven him, you wouldn't be able to reconcile with him, because you couldn't guarantee that he wouldn't do something similar in the future. And in those cases, you would be justified in having forgiven him, but not being reconciled to him. And so there's a difference between those two things. They're related, obviously. And obviously the first step to reconciliation is forgiveness. But I can't reconcile with somebody if I can't trust that they're going to do the, or that they're not going to do the same thing over again or something similar. So that's where it falls. And so I think that you have to really pray about how likely is it that you think you could have those conversations with him to see if he could learn from those mistakes, and work with you to find more appropriate ways to address concerns in the future. And if not, or if you don't think that would go well, then it's okay to say, I forgive him, but I just can't have him in my life anymore. And then you grieve the relationship. Mike, thank you for being a faithful listener. I hope that these principles will help you really prayerfully discern the next steps. At the very least, you can forgive him and pray for him, but you may or may not be able to reconcile with him based on what I was sharing. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled, How Can I Help? As we talk about the struggle that we all have to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break. Plus, we'll be joined by pastoral counselor Jacob Flores Popchak, who has some insights from Scripture on how to make sure that our help is helpful. We'll be back after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, How Can I Help? As we talk about those times when we're trying to help somebody we care about, but it isn't really going as planned. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, pastoral counselor Jacob Flores Popchak. He's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being a published author and illustrator. And he's here to share some insights from Scripture on how we can make sure our help is helpful. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I hope it will be helpful.
We do, too. So you wanted to share something from the story of the road to Emmaus?
Yeah, I always love to reflect on the story of the road to Emmaus with my clients, because I think it's really a template for what authentic helpfulness and empathy in these situations really tends to look like. You know, you guys have been talking so far this hour about the fact that we often will have this tendency to want to instruct or advise or to redirect a person, and how often that impulse is actually pretty self-serving, right? It's actually make me feel better more so than it is to actually help the other person. But the story of the road to Emmaus, I think, provides a powerful template for what Christ's love looks like in contrast with that impulse. So we have these two, you know, apostles, right, leaving Jerusalem after the crucifixion, and they're in horrible grief, right? Their world has been shaken, their faith has been shaken, their worldview has been challenged. They're walking away from the city, right? And Christ, although they don't know it to be Christ yet, appears to them and walks with them. And I'll be honest, I'll be really candid. This was actually one of the scriptures that I struggled with most as a child. Like when I would hear it at Mass, this was the one every year that I would get really, really troubled by. Because in my mind, hey, here are these two sad people, Jesus. Why are you not just telling them, hey, it's me, I'm alive, I'm fine, and correcting them and making them feel better, right? And it was actually like kind of a stumbling block for me. Of course, as I've gotten older, you know, I realized that maybe Jesus knows a little bit more about relationship than I do. Right? Right? Because what ends up happening is, you're right, he doesn't reveal himself right away. He doesn't, you know, pull off his hood or whatever and say, ta-da, it's me, you shouldn't be sad, right? No, he walks with them, and Scripture tells us he hears them out. He shares ideas back and forth. They continue to converse. Literally, he is walking the wrong way with them, right? They're leaving the city, and he's choosing to accompany them in the wrong direction, right? And not correcting them, not forcing them to turn around and change their path. And he just continues to walk with them, hearing them out and bouncing ideas around until they arrive at the inn where they're meant to stay at that evening. And he makes as though he's going to continue on. And it's then and only then that they invite him in with them, not just into the inn literally, but into their hearts, revealing that, hey, now their guard has been sufficiently lowered. They're not in that kind of tunnel vision, scared, hurting, grief place anymore. They feel heard by him. They feel understood by him. And now they're inviting him in. And it is only then, in the breaking of the bread, that he is revealed to be the Christ, and their eyes can be fully opened. And that's exactly how we need to walk with other people. So often, that kind of emotional and spiritual acid reflux rises up within us and says, oh my gosh, this person is heading in the wrong direction. I've got to turn them around. I've got to stop them.
Yes.
Right? But that's not, you're not doing that for them at that point. You're doing that for your own fear. You're serving your own anxiety, not their greater good, when you respond to that impulse. When we can instead, what we can instead do is be like Christ. Be willing to confidently walk with them, alongside of them, in relationship, even if it feels like it's in the wrong direction. Hearing them out and letting them feel heard until they welcome us in and can be turned around organically as a result of feeling authentically loved.
Really powerful insights, Jacob. I want to thank you so much for sharing those with our listeners and really reminding us of how to use that story of the road to Emmaus as a template for accompaniment and authentic helping. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to come over to CatholicCounselors.com, where they can learn more about you and the Catholic Counseling Ministry at CatholicCounselors.com. Listeners, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Maybe you're listening to all this and you're thinking, yeah, that sounds great, but how do I apply it here? I mean, because I really want to help this person, and they really need some help. What do I do? Especially when the help that you've tried to offer hasn't worked out as planned. We are here to help you help them. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after this.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The arguments raging in today's society as to the state of marriage and who may enter into it shouldn't cause us to forget its permanent characteristics. According to the Catholic Catechism, the matrimonial covenant has two main purposes: the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring. Our Lord Jesus raised this covenant to the dignity of a sacrament. The Catechism also reminds us of the indisputable fact that marriage is not a purely human institution. God Himself is the author of marriage, and only God, not man, can change its common and permanent characteristics. It began with the creation of man and woman in the image and likeness of God, who is love. Thus, their mutual and unfailing love becomes an image of the absolute and unfailing love with which God loves man. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Hey men, did you know that you're called to lead couple prayer in your marriage? You might have the most amazing individual prayer life, but how is it possible to have a godly marriage if you and your wife don't submit yourselves to God in prayer on a daily basis? If you go off and pray by yourself and then tell your wife what you heard, how is that not setting yourself up as some kind of anointed oracle in your home? Yes, it's a good first step, but it's only the first step. Bring your bride to pray with you and ask God to teach you both how to love each other the way He wants you to love each other. Let her see you humbling yourself before God, and she'll give you her heart in ways you never dreamed possible. To learn more, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, How Can I Help? We're talking about those times when we want to help someone we care about, but we're either not sure how to do it, our efforts to help have been rejected, made things worse, blown up in our face. Sound familiar? Well, give us a call. Let us help you find helpful ways to help them that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
We want to offer our congratulations to another longtime EWTN radio partner, Domestic Church Media in New Jersey. Mark 17 years with us. There are five stations in Trenton, Ashbury Park, Cape May, Freehold, and Hamilton, New Jersey.
Congratulations to Jim and Cheryl Manfredonia and their great team at Domestic Church Media from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well as you're able. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Because we want to help you and those you love live your faith and life more abundantly.
But come on, let's be real. The world really needs the message that the Catholic Church has, and we have an obligation to share it. And it's a blessedly easy way to do it when you support your local EWTN station and EWTN with your prayers and your financial support.
So again, thanks to Jim and Cheryl Manfredonia, and congratulations to them for 17 years of Catholic Radio in New Jersey. And thanks to all of you who make EWTN Catholic Radio possible. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about how to make sure that our attempts to help are actually helpful.
Right now, let's talk to Greg and Terry in North Carolina on Divine Mercy Radio.
Hey, Greg and Terry, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. My wife and I have been getting counseling to deal with betrayal trauma and, the fallout from that. And we've been learning some things. We're becoming aware of some unhealthy patterns that we've exhibited and modeled for our children, especially early in our marriage, where my wife, very much wanting to be conflict avoidant, would sweep issues under the rug and just kind of not address things that she saw concerns. And then I was very defensive and dismissive when she did raise concerns. And we're seeing some of that same behavior model in our kids now. Our daughter in particular really seems to just kind of be oblivious when her husband or children are being disrespectful. And and we're just not sure how much we should share from what we're learning, and we want to be helpful, but we don't want to, we went through the phase of how did we get to be so smart when our parents don't know a thing about raising children phase, and so we kind of feel like when we do bring up things that they kind of look at us like we're, not as smart as we think we are.
Yeah. So you're trying to figure out how much of your experience should you share, and how can you be helpful to your daughter in recognizing certain things that maybe, you'd like her to look at so that she can avoid kind of the years of struggle that you guys had, right?
Exactly.
And how openly, for example, do your kids in general, does your daughter in particular, bring up things to you guys and, talk about stuff, whether she's asking for help or not? Does she talk about her marriage? Does she talk about, stuff that's going on there? Or is it she more closed off?
Well, Greg and I, we've had trouble with intimacy, emotional intimacy, et cetera, in our marriage for almost 40 years. And so consequently with our kids, that connecting on a deeper level has been a problem. So we don't have a good relationship in that regards, unfortunately.
And so how often do you talk to them in general? Let's start there. Like, do you have regular contact with them?
We see them pretty much weekly.
Good.
And it's usually really good, but it's very much surface. If we do tend to bring up anything deeper, I think there's a little bit of I don't know, how would you put it?
Well, in the past, we've been very kind of annoying parents in a lot of ways. We don't we're trying to respond, I guess you could say, like Charlie Kirk, you know, just very patient and kind is what our goal, and to respond more like Christ. But we've unfortunately made a habit, or too often been not like that.
And so have you guys shared anything about your counseling with your kids at all?
I was going to send them a text about that, and then, but it kind of doesn't make Greg look good, so he had concerns and thought maybe we should get some counseling. And we don't want to, you know, like you were talking about the different helpers. Sometimes I try to help, but I'm not very wise about it at times, it seems.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't do this over a text.
It's too personal, and it's something that should draw you guys close and allow you and your children to have kind of a flowing question and answer situation if they feel comfortable, and you do too.
So I'm going to offer some basic suggestions and then encourage you to follow it up with our book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's a book that really lays out principles for how we can talk to our adult kids about important stuff, like even if they've fallen away, for example, or if they're going through difficulties in their marriage, or, you know, whatever, the serious conversations that we want to be able to have with our adult kids. How can we make sure that they're receptive? One of the things that's really important, and this is one of the main principles in the book, is that we need to make sure that our relationship is deep enough to contain the conversations we want to have. What I mean by that is, you know, if you let's say you can't pour a gallon of milk into a shot glass, right? Because if you do, you're going to end up with a mess all over the place. It's just going to overflow, and it doesn't matter how you pour it, what technique you use.
Nope, just can't take it. It's not deep enough. It's not going to work.
And so, you know, if our relationship with anybody, but especially our adult kids, tends to be one of, you know, how's the weather and what'd you do this week? And then all of a sudden we want to talk about faith, right? Or we want to talk about marriage issues, you know, that's a jump in a level of intimacy from, you know, the most superficial level to one of the deepest levels. You know, we want to try to work on cultivating the deeper relationship in general, where maybe slowly we start opening up the door to some of those deeper conversations, you know, where, you know, so if you look at there, Matthew Kelly did a book called Seven Levels of Intimacy. And this can be a nice guide for how to kind of grow the intimacy in your relationship with anybody. So like the first level are basically cliches. How are you today? I'm fine, thanks. And you? The next level is where you just sort of share facts, you know, current events, stuff that happened in the week, that kind of thing. The next level goes to opinions. What do we think about stuff? You know, and that starts to pull the curtain back a little bit about, you know, well, just what's in my heart. The next level is hopes and dreams. You know, where would you like to end up, or how do you hope this will work out, or what are your goals? Those kinds of things, and then we start talking about feelings. You know, how do I feel about this, and what motivates me, and how do I respond to these different things? And then the next level is where we start talking about fears, faults, and failures. You know, the struggles that I have, the difficulties that I'm in, and then the last part is where we talk about, you know, sort of deeper needs. You know, what do I need to feel fulfilled in my life, and what do I need to really feel like I'm growing and achieving the things that are most important to me? And so you want to kind of look at that framework and say, well, how could I move this to the next step? You know, if we talk mainly about facts and just current events, you know, could we start talking about a little bit more about opinions, when make that safe to share, or hopes and dreams and make that safe to share, and then build out from there till you get to the place where you're having regular conversations where it makes sense to share the things that you're learning in counseling, not as a way of lecturing them, but just as a way of sort of witnessing to, here are some of the things that we're learning along the way, and we really wanted to share those with you because it's really been important to us, and maybe you could use something too.
Now, here's a way to go from that we share facts to an invitation to deeper intimacy with your kids. And this might feel a little strange, because parents always feel we shouldn't have to do that. But I think the insights you're having from receiving therapy to address the issues that you've been talking about, and the fact that you've been able to call us and ask the question, means that you're pretty comfortable with being able to share it, is to, as a just matter of fact, sometime when you're with your kids, when it's appropriate, the little ones aren't all over the place necessarily, just to be able to say to them, you know, we are receiving counseling because of some of the things we've been through. And I've got to say, it's really helping us. And we just want to apologize for not being as close and open to relationship as you maybe needed as you were growing up. Because we're learning a lot right now. And we just wanted to say, We wish we had known then what we know now, and we really love you, and we hope that we can grow closer to each other as we learn more things. Done. You're not asking them to forgive you. You're not trying to say, and we want to share everything we learned so that you can, you know, miss all the pain that we went through. You're just saying, we're sorry we didn't know these things then, and we weren't the people we're trying to become now, and we just want you to know how much we love you. And if we had known this then, we might have done some things differently. And then just let it sit. They might react to that and say, oh, of course we forgive you. Or, yeah, we wish you did too. Or they might be silent and need to just sit with it a while and see if they can learn to trust you through it all. But sort of like the Road to Emmaus thing that Jacob Flores Popchick was just talking about, let them know where you're at right now and that you're sorry you weren't there when you were raising them, and you love them and want a more intense relationship or better relationship with them. And then just let them walk it and see where it takes them.
But yeah, I think that if you follow some of these principles, especially the idea of starting to kind of till the soil of your relationship so that it can be deep enough to contain the conversations you want to have
without forcing it on them,
then you're able to really create a context where it makes sense to share some of these experiences that you're having now. So you can run with these principles that we've suggested, but if you'd like, you know, some more tips and kind of a template for fleshing this out with your adult kids, I'd really encourage you to check out How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's published by Word Among Us Press, and it's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Again, once again, that title, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Greg and Terry, I want to thank you for doing the work on your relationship. I want to thank you for wanting to share your experience with not just your kids, but all of our listeners as well.
It's a beautiful witness. Thank you so much.
And we really appreciate your faithfulness and your willingness to be really faithful disciples, especially in your marriage and family life. With that, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about helping others on our show titled, How Can I Help? You know, sometimes our attempts to be helpful don't really work out as planned, right? We try to be helpful and the person rejects it or pushes it back on in our face, or it makes things worse. How can we be sure that the help we're offering is actually helpful? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10.
And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ.
You know, St. Paul is writing this, and we pick this scripture because it reminds us that it's really important in our efforts to be loving to not just do what comes naturally or what we feel like doing in the moment. You know, the whole point of Christian discipleship, of the whole Christian walk, is learning a different way of loving than comes naturally to us. Learning how to love as Christ loves. And that requires us to kind of check those impulses that come up where we say, oh, I want to love this person. I want to help them. I want to do the thing. I want to fix this. And we need to bring that to God first and say, you know, Lord, this is what's coming naturally to me. But how would you want me to help? Teach me how to respond to this person, to this situation, in a way that really will let me do my part in bringing out the best in them for you. And then we listen and reflect on what God is teaching us so that we can, as St. Paul says here, increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, so that we can discern what is of value and learn to love as Christ loves. With that, we are taking our break. When we come back, more with your calls about helping other people in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
That was my past.
If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, How Can I Help? As we talk about the challenges involved in actually helping others in ways that they experience as, well, helpful. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Kim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. Well, I have a situation where I had borrowed my stepson a large sum of money when he started.
You loaned your stepson money. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you said you borrowed from him.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure if you borrowed from him or him from you. So you lent your stepson a large sum of money.
I lent my stepson a large sum of money when he opened a business. And with the knowledge that he would be paying me back, we both agreed on all that. And it's been 5 years and I have had nothing in return. And of course, it's caused quite a rift between he and I, and also between my husband and I, which is not fair. But
So tell me about that. You know, how is it? First of all, how have you tried to address this with your stepson?
Well, I have talked to him several times, and it's always going to be when something comes in, when we have some money to pay you. Yes, I know you. I owe you the money. And so now I have added interest to the payment. So it is even much
more. How is this causing a rift between you and your husband?
Well, because my husband doesn't think that at this point that he should be paying me back the money only when he needs it, and he's having a really hard time, and I'm frustrated.
And did you have any paperwork on this? Did you write a contract or anything?
No. Nope, okay. Of course not.
Well, so here's the thing, Kim. You're going to have to write this off. I know you don't want to hear that, and I completely appreciate, you know, why this isn't fair or just. But it's a general rule, and even financial experts will tell you this. I know Dave Ramsey makes a big thing out of this. You never loan money to family members. And if you do, you make sure there's paper on it.
Like, not just a note between you, but that you've actually involved
a lawyer.
Because, really, family has to come first. And if you have the money to loan somebody, just make it a gift so this doesn't become antagonistic?
And if you don't have it to give, then you don't give it.
Right.
But if you make it alone, then all of a sudden that defines the entire relationship, and it destroys everything. And you're seeing that happen.
Hostility grows, you know.
Your intention was good. Your heart was in the right place. But this was a mistake. And I would suggest to you that you're going to need to write this off for the sake of your relationship, especially with your husband. That's awful. It's unfortunate, but you're not going to see the money until this business is successful, you're not going
to
see it.
And you don't have to make a big deal about it. You can just let it lie. And maybe when his business is more successful, it takes a long time for a business to become successful enough to start,
it takes an average of 5 years for most businesses to even break even.
And if he's just coming, up to that 5-year mark, he's probably not making enough of a profit to pay you back yet. Let it lie, and hopefully one day, 5 years from now, he will start paying you back. But if it doesn't happen, in your mind, it's a gift, it's a loss, and you're putting your relationship with your husband and his son before money. Because when it comes down to it, let's talk about, the fact that when we get to heaven, God is going to ask us how we loved and how we cared. He's not going to ask us for our bank balance. And you really want to make sure that you're growing in wisdom from the experience, but you're also growing in love.
Yeah, and again, Kim, I completely agree that, when we make an agreement with somebody, they should honor the agreement.
Absolutely.
I agree with you that in justice, the money is owed to you. Unfortunately, this is really a mistake that you shouldn't have made in the first place, because as soon as we loan something to a family member, the whole relationship becomes defined by that loan. If you have it to give, give it. If you don't, don't. But don't ever loan anything to a family member. And if you do, you got to write it off, unless they're actively paying it back. I'm sorry, Kim, I wish I had better news for you, but that's really the best thing for you to do, both for your spirit and for these relationships at this point. Adding interest to it after the fact, just to try to prove a point, is just going to make it worse.
It's going to make it so much worse. And you don't want to end up putting a rift between you and your husband over something like this, and trying to, what this boils down to is not just the financial aspect of this, but also that you want your husband to come along and take your side over the side of his own child. And you're putting him in a terrible position about all of this and really putting a strain on your marriage. That if I think you take a moment, pause, and pray and look down the line at what this kind of thing can cause in your relationship with your husband, you'll see that no amount of money is worth putting that kind of rift between you and your spouse.
Again, I know that's easy to say. It's another thing to actually live it out, but really, it's the only answer you got. Thank you for the call, Kim. And we don't have time to take Mary's call, but she called in, and I can respond to the question.
Yeah.
She said her best friend just lost her husband, and she doesn't know how to be there for her emotionally or practically. When anyone we love has suffered a loss, the most important thing is to just kind of be present. That ministry of presence, not necessarily assuming that they need anything in particular. We can certainly ask, but everybody says, let me know if you need something.
And nobody going through deep grief knows what they need. They just need somebody present to know they're not alone, to know they haven't been abandoned. So you bring over cookies, or you get her a blanket.
Or you're going to the grocery store and you text her and say, hey, I'm running to the store. Can I pick up anything for you?
But you consistently be there over time. A lot of people will be there right now, as it's a very early loss. But be there through the next years of this, because grief is a very long process. Just be consistent and loving and make contact with her when you can, at least a few times a week.
Yeah, and little things like, hey, I'm going to go to a movie if you'd like to join me. I'd love to have your or I'm going to grab lunch. You want to come with me? Very low expectation. It's letting her know it's okay to say no to you, in that kind of casual way, but just making yourself present and really being there, letting her know that you're not afraid of her or her grief.
Right. And if she doesn't say yes to your invitations yet, she needs time to be alone and grieve, but she needs to know you're not going to run away just because she's saying no for a while. As she comes out of the grief, she'll start to say yes to more things. It's your faithfulness to her that she needs right now and in the future.
Right, I apologize for not being able to have time to take the call, but I hope that these principles will give you some ways to move forward and be there for your friend. And listeners, if you are struggling to know how to help someone you care about, or the ways you've been trying to help that person who's close to you have not been working out, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you find ways to be authentically helpful. We can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.